Holding off on the impeachment. Well, if the Senate is going to pretend that there's no problem and be like, we're going to go aggressively on tabling this thing, well, maybe that's the right move. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The Senate Democrats are looking to dismiss the charges against Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, who was impeached by the House, what, a month ago, I believe it was. A true dereliction of duty when it comes to the southern border, as any rational person can see. But if all things are political to you, well, then this simply cannot stand. You can't be going after Alejandro Mayorkas. You're really trying to go after Biden. Well, I don't mind if they try and remove Joe Biden either. I mean, he's just terrible. But sure, whatever you say, is it part and parcel of the administration's failures? Absolutely. But yes, a cabinet member can be impeached, just like a Supreme Court justice can be impeached and then removed. But in this case, it's Mayorkas. And the Democrats have said it doesn't deserve any seriousness. It's all political. And we will do what we can to dispose of this as quickly as possible. So Republicans speak to the House and they're like, hey, you may not even want to send the articles. If you don't send the articles, the Senate does not have to take up the trial. Remember how the system goes. The House will do the impeachment. The Senate then holds a trial for removal. They were going to send the articles today. Mike Johnson, the Speaker, has said, hey, I hear you. We'll delay in sending the articles until we think we've got a better shot at least getting the trial going. At the very least, doing the trial. It's one thing to say, hey, I don't think that this guy has done anything worthy of removal, right? That's a stain on your character as far as I'm concerned, but that's one thing. It's another thing to say, let's move to not have a trial at all. It's a very different bit of mathematics. Now you say to me, well, Tony, well, what about Merrick Garland back in the day? Mitch McConnell wouldn't even make a move to have a hearing on confirming him for the Supreme Court. Wouldn't even think of doing it. Well, that's absolutely correct. And you say to me, what's the difference here? The Senate thought that a nominee wasn't worthy, and they weren't interested in giving consent. The House of Representatives, voted on by the people of the United States, made the decision that the Secretary of Homeland Security wasn't worthy, and the Senate doesn't think that the people and the people's representatives should even be dealt with. Those are two very, very different things. It's important that if anybody should bring that up to you, you have context. I only hope he gets removed. I would rather he was removed. Until then, we'll just keep pointing out what an absolutely terrible job he's doing, and we'll just continue to discuss the death count that comes from that border and its poor policies. Sound good? Good, good. Orange whip. Three orange whips. Fantastic. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump. Seriously. Donald Trump uses phrases like, you're going to eviscerate the Constitution, he's going to be a dictator on day one.
Well, at least he's consistent. He's figured out how to remember that. He can't remember how to get off the stage, but Joe Biden can remember that. That's a lot of good programming. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good job in trying to scare I was a reporter from, I think, Mexico, and that's your answer. Terrific. Terrific. The threat is not the southern border. It isn't economic issues. It isn't even climate change. Oh, the left has got to be furious. You left out climate change as the existential threat of our lifetime. It's Trump. If you ask a lot of Americans, they'll tell you, Joe Biden, that you're the threat. You've done more to dismantle things, do damage, create harm, divide people. It's you. I know. They won't put it on NBC, but it's still true. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Great to be here. They are going to raise the price of a stamp to 73 cents. And I get it. No. I hear you. I see you. I get exactly what you're saying. Who the hell still uses a stamp? But this system cannot work. It's already 68 cents, so it's a 7.8% increase that's taking place this summer. The request was made to the Postal Regulatory Commission, which, now that I say it out loud, does sound very Orwellian. That's how bad of an idea it is. This is ugly stuff. Or is it still the cheapest thing going that you can send something from one person to another physically for less than a dollar? I can't think of the last time I mailed something. Like, required a stamp, mailed something. I'm trying to figure out that moment. Maybe I don't send out enough letters. I hand out thank you cards, but maybe I need to start mailing. You know what? Send me your address. I'll mail you a thank you card. And we'll see how it works. The big story out there right now is the story about abortion. And this benefits the Democratic Party in a big way. The story comes out of Arizona. Now, trust me, it's nuts. It is a crazy story because Arizona had a 15-week ban on abortion. Coming after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which was the proper decision, always was the proper decision. Roe v. Wade never should have been decided. It was wrong from the Supreme Court, like Dred Scott, wrong from the Supreme Court, like Plessy versus Ferguson, wrong from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is something we like to call fallible, and the Supreme Court was wrong here. Wrong in Roe v. Wade. Wrong to say that this right somehow existed as almost a conversation of privacy within the Constitution. Wrong. And I'm glad it was overturned, and I believe it's a states' rights issue, and I still believe that. Shockingly, it puts me exactly where Trump says he is on the issue, that it should be up to the states. This enrages people on the left because it means, I have to drive 600 miles for health care. Like you'd have to drive from one state to another because of health care. But you don't mind that someone might have to drive 600 miles in order to get their right to keep a firearm, to keep and bear arms, which is weird because that's written into the Constitution via the Second Amendment, and abortion is nowhere in the Constitution. Man, can we just discuss how weak some of these arguments are, how silly these late-night show hosts and others sound? You have to drive 600 miles for your health care. Abortion is not health care. You know, I should really qualify that a little bit better. In the main, abortion is not health care. But there are plenty of people who have to travel when a surgery takes place. There could be the life of the mother. There could be complications. There could be things. We all live in a grown-up world. Some people would say even the complications aren't a reason to have an abortion. Well, that's a different conversation. But honesty is good amongst us. Arizona states, I'm going to get myself back to it. Arizona states, through the governor's Doug Ducey, Republican, 15 weeks. Well, this gets challenged. And what the courts decide is that that cannot apply. Sorry, we know what you did, but it doesn't apply because it does not comport with legislation on the books. And you might ask yourself, wait a second, what legislation on the books? There is a law in the state of Arizona that makes abortion a felony, punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison for anyone who performs one or helps a woman obtain one. And you say to yourself, how is that on the books? It's on the books from 1864. That was the law in the area, the territory known as Arizona, or maybe it had even a different name. It was the law before Arizona became a state. That law got codified in 1901, and then in 1913, which I believe brings it closer to at least statehood. There's a law on the books that says you can't have an abortion in the state of Arizona except to save the life of the mother. When they passed this legislation in 2022 and Governor Doug Ducey signed it, a court, an appellate court, said, look, that previous law was never repealed. It's still there, and it remains on the books as long as it was harmonized, quote unquote, with the 2022 law. Now, look, I don't claim to be a legal expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I have no idea what the hell harmonized means, guys. I've got this law saying you can do it. I've got this law saying you can't do it. What's the harmony? How does one make that work? Seconds to Wapner. These things don't harmonize. Pig and elephant DNA just won't splice, and this will not harmonize. So, sorry, the 1864 law remains, and now you cannot get an abortion in the state of Arizona, to which the left has, of course, lost their mind. Look what these Republicans have done. Republicans didn't pass the law in 1864. No. Republicans and evil Donald Trump, the end of civilization, because of those Supreme Court justices, those fascists they put on the court, they overturned Roe. Look what they've done. That's how it's getting spun. And for Democrats, this is helpful because this is part of their reelection bid. I would only assume that there's movement in Arizona now to try and repeal that legislation and then reinstitute what was signed by the governor, one way or another. Now, if new legislation has to get passed, well, you no longer have a Republican governor. You have Katie Hobbs, who's a, she's like a Muppet. At least she's actually said things worthy about the border. So there's now about to be, or possibly, a fight on abortion in Arizona. So watch for it and wait for it. But for the people who believe that abortion is the only subject to obtain victory in 2024, this is a bit of a gift. And they're loving it. It's weird what they love, I know, but they are. So Indiana State University get snubbed from the NCAA tournament. They play in the NIT. They get to the finals. They lose. And then they say, hey, should we keep the band back together? And everyone says, nope. This band will never reunite again. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. First, of course, you had the coach. The coach saying, you know what? This has been fun. Josh Schertz. Do I pronounce it Schertz? S-C-H-E-R-T-Z. He's like, this has been fun. But there's another school that's going to pay me a bunch more money. So got to go. And he heads out the door for St. Louis. He's gone. And then the players all looked at themselves and they were like, And they start entering the transfer portal. And for a second there, everybody but Robbie Avila had entered the transfer portal. Robbie Avila is the guy who looks like he shouldn't be playing basketball. He wears the goggles, and they refer to him as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Which Milk Chamberlain. It's so good. Larry Blurred, because he wears the goggles. That's Indiana State. Oh, joyous. Well, he didn't want to be left out of the party. They have all entered. Five Indiana State Sycamores have now entered the transfer portal. And one would wonder exactly how many of them are following Josh Schertz to St. Louis. Am I pronouncing it right? I've never actually heard his last name pronounced, so I don't know if I'm saying it properly, so I apologize. But you got to assume that him going to St. Louis is going to help them tremendously with recruiting. But now, if someone like Avila is there, by the way, he's not just going to St. Louis, it's St. Louis University. If Avila follows him, well then, you got to assume you're going to actually pick some people up and you could have the start of a program. So he's going to be getting like $2 million a year, which for college basketball isn't amongst the highest, but it's certainly more than Indiana State was paying. As for Indiana State, yeah, they have to rebuild the whole program now from scratch. Honestly, this move is like their death sentence. It, like when they say, sorry, you can't have a program for X number of years and it's a death sentence. That's what this is. That's what this is. Not only is Avila looking to move, he's looking to get NIL money, name, image, likeness. And according to Bleacher Report, he's looking at a minimum of $250,000. So if St. Louis wants him, some of those alumni better start guaranteeing some dollars. So some car dealership is going to need Robbie Avila saying, you should see all the great deals we have. Get it, the goggles, see all the great. Oh, I honestly, when do I start getting paid for my great ideas? When does that happen? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Use a steak. I could. Some mornings you don't want anything. Some mornings just something small. No, right. Bring it on. There's a reason for a ribeye, and this is the reason. Today, right now, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. The phone number 317-239-9393. Joe Biden, thankfully, has decided to remove the mask, and now he's full on in it. Israel, why don't you just surrender already? Full on saying, what are we wasting time for? Why don't you just do a unilateral ceasefire and just stop? I can't make this up. I cannot make it up. What I'm calling for, says Biden, is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire. Allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. Saying, I've spoken with everyone from the Saudis to the Jordanians to the Egyptians. They're prepared to move in. They're prepared to move this food in. And I think there's no excuse to not provide for the medical and the food needs of those people. It should be done now. And, of course, saying that Netanyahu is making a mistake. This isn't just Netanyahu. This is the nation of Israel, and they don't see their survival as a mistake. But I can appreciate it if Americans say, we don't want to send them any more military hardware if this is what they're going to do. I think the Israelis understand that this is possible. They do now. They do now. When I was there, I was asked point blank, Does Joe Biden, does America have our back? And I said, there are Americans who have your back. Joe Biden is not one of them. They were stunned. You cannot just trust that Joe Biden will be there for you. These progressives, absolutely not. They want to see you dead. It's okay. They also want me dead, and they also want a fair amount of my friends dead. But this is what they want. This is who they are. And trusting Joe Biden is insane. Well, here we are. Here we are. The lack of leadership here, the lack of decency here, the lack of a rational idea here. If you say to me or to anyone enough, what about the children? Some people crack. But I think you got to think long term. And I don't think Joe Biden cares about children at all. He may love to sniff them, but he doesn't actually care about them. If he cared about children, he wouldn't want Hamas gone. This is true of John Stewart as well. These people don't actually care. I'm going to say it again so I can be quoted. Whether it's Joe Biden or whether it's John Stewart, they don't actually care about the children who live in Israel or in Gaza. They don't care. Because anyone who believes that Hamas should be left standing for any level of time doesn't care about children. They don't care about women. Joe Biden does not care about women. Again, he may like to sniff them, but he doesn't care about them. John Stewart doesn't care about women. No one who cares about women would leave Hamas in charge for a second. How much more do you have to see of how they treat women to realize they don't care about women? Oh, we don't have to worry about Tlaib or Omar. They don't care about women at all. They never have. I would say they could care less, but they could not. They have no capability of doing so. They don't care. Then again, these are also people who are cheering on Hamas. That's another story for another day. For Biden to engage this way first shows his level of despicableness. But secondly, it really is a very peculiar lack of leadership, even for a guy who has never really shown it. If you were to pass by a security guard without showing your ID, they would be okay with tackling you to the ground. You want to get on an airplane? They will put on a glove and they will insert it wherever they choose to make sure you're not a threat. Lord forbid you want to have a compound with a couple of guns on it where people are living and they're praying and they're making babies. I'm old enough, you're old enough, everybody is old enough to at least go to the Google machine and take a look at Waco and Ruby Ridge. And you say to me, Tony, those aren't comparable. And I say to you, with all due respect, it's not that I agree with those people. It's that the idea that it cannot be brought up in this context means you should sit down. In the United States, we make all sorts of moves. Outrageously aggressive moves against even the thought of impropriety. Israel got slaughtered. A massive percentage of their population. If we were to compare the 9/11 attack and population, it's of magnitudes. The 1,200 people. Never mind, it's 1,200 people. And they still hold hostages. Now, you don't know who's alive. I have been under the belief that if anyone has been alive, if anyone's alive, I'd be shocked. But to tell those people, you shouldn't. Because Hamas lies about the numbers of dead children, so we need to make sure that they all get food and water. It's not Israel's job to make sure the enemy gets food and water, and they've been doing it. Israel's made mistakes, sure. Sure, it's a war. It's a war, and mistakes are going to get made, sure. We've made mistakes in war. Others have made mistakes in war. Absolutely. You could say so. And as I said, you could say, I wouldn't send them another piece of hardware. Okay. I disagree with that, but okay. But the idea that you should just call for a unilateral ceasefire as if Hamas has done nothing wrong. Well, Tony, this isn't about Hamas. This is about the children. I go back to where I started. If Joe Biden or John Stewart or any of these progressives, including the bigot Andre Carson, gave a damn about children, they would want Hamas gone. You don't have to like Israel, but you would want Hamas out of the picture. And none of them ever say that. So please don't tell me about the children. That's not what this is about. They don't care about the children at all.